Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I have with me today not only the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, but a person I consider a friend. His name is Peter Marchetti. He's long serving on the city council, but what's always touched my heart more than his public political thing was how he headed up the 4th of July parade. And I say that because I miss my family and everything when I was in Vietnam, but the two things I missed the most, Christmas, being home, and the 4th of July parade. So it means a lot to me, and I'm sure the mayor will attest, I've been there in the blazing heat, and I've been there in the pouring rain, but I don't miss the parade. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Mr. Mayor, good afternoon.
Well, good morning, Mr. Sturgeon.
Yeah, good morning.
I guess that's the harder part with these being
Tape, yeah.
Recorded, right? That
yeah.
We're in the moment, not there.
Yeah, and you know, I have to tell you, believe me, do I know, and someday we'll have a coffee you'll buy, of course, because I'm retired. I want to thank you and the team for the roads, all the roads. I came down South Street today, and even the Polish princess says, this is beautiful. Now, I know there are people who have 100 viewpoints, but I just want to say, probably 1,000 viewpoints, thank you for the roads. And one
You're
last
welcome.
Thing.
I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
One last thing. Thank you for Casella and the toters.
Thank you. You know, the road work worked out well for us this year, not only with the city's contribution, but Commissioner Morales was able to work with MassDOT.
Yeah.
And get most of South Street paved. So basically from Guardian Life to downtown, from the hospital all the way out to the Lanesboro line, and then some work on First Street, some work on East Street, and now the project that we've started on West and West. And so, you know, one of the things is that fiscal year 26 road work is off to a later start than normal, I think.
Yeah.
But there's so much other stuff happening. And I'll be very happy when Valentine Road is done.
It's a little. I've been on tank trails at Fort Benning that were nicer than that.
But you know, we've had our share of summer work, whether it be the water mains or some of the other utility lines that were being done, and so it'll be good to have that completed. The West and West project, which I call it, but West Street. You know, through sometime next year of putting in a stoplight at West and West, and also putting in some more safety mechanisms along the route up to Crosby School, and just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I guess it's part of today's society to complain about everything that. And sometimes maybe there's a rationale for it. Like today, I do have a couple of peeves, not with you, but today BMC has this big deal about opening their parking lot. Blah, 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 right? Today you couldn't park in it because they were paving the street. You would have thought they would have paved the street before. And my other big peeve, and I don't have many, I'm pretty content, but my other big peeve is BMC is this huge parking lot for the medical arts building, blah, blah, blah. Right. They have 7 handicapped parking spaces. How many? Yeah, who goes to those buildings? A lot of people that are handicapped. A lady said to me today, they have more handicapped parking at Walmart than they have at BMC. But I'm
Is there more handicapped parking in the parking garage, though?
Yes, about 4 more.
Okay.
Four to probably 5. I don't want to be, I don't, I already spoke to somebody many months ago about taking more of the part of the parking garage that faces the emergency room, and just make that whole level going up handicap, but that went nowhere. So anyhow, but again, please thank you and thank the commissioner and all the people who have worked so hard on the roads, because what's been done has been spectacular.
Thank you.
Yep. And also Casella. I would like to bring those folks on sometime and interview them, because I think I watched them go before the city council, and it's like, dudes, I think they're doing a great job.
Well, I think we navigated through the system of conversion to the toters well.
I think.
There were hiccups. And I think the hardest part is that folks wanted us to come up with 17,456 unique solutions
Yeah.
for every household as we rolled it off, which would have been an impossible task. We had bumps in the road, we had issues that we had to deal with, but I was just at an event prior to this, or this week, and one of the conversations is communication is the key, right? With anything you do. When I look back at my banking career, if we were going to unroll a new product, how we communicated and how we unrolled that product meant whether or not that product would be successful or not. And
Exactly.
in city government, how we unroll products or services or changes. Because let's face it, we live in a community that is adverse to change. This is the way that I've always done it. I'm used to this routine. Some of it I think we don't even think about. Labor Day weekend, that Monday night, I'm like, let's get my garbage ready. Oh, wait a minute. Not
Yeah.
right. So you just get ingrained in things that you do on a regular basis, and you lose, I think, control, because it's something that you do that's just so repetitive that you don't even think about the fact that you're doing it.
Exactly. And I think too that I think you're right. Change is hard for everybody. And I think, and I'm a lot older than you, the older I get, the more I kind of resist it. And then I tried, but what I try to do is listen to the lot. What, why are we doing this? Well, it was costing us $1 billion to get rid of the garbage and the trash and the recycle, and for one, but two, it made sense if people listen. Now, when they who wanted so when the first go through, I think there were what 90 gallon trash barrels or something. It was some huge. I'd have to leave the car outside. It wouldn't fit in my garage. So I applaud you, the committee, and everybody. But and I would say to some of my friends on the city council, some of it was the city's fault. When we have parking on both sides of narrow streets on garbage day, those, if you ever watch those men and women who do that, they are finely trained and finely skilled, and I take my hat off to them. So, but you're on the school committee, and I would just ask you, wow. 100 employees, is that, it was something in the Eagle this morning about it.
So I missed the school committee meeting last night when that report was going, but I did watch on TV. I had a procedure done, so I wasn't capable of driving nor making legal decisions per se. But I think that part of last night was more communication, right? Folks are saying how many positions are vacant, how many positions are emergency licensed or waivered or whatever the case may be. So somebody asked the question, but we've been kind of looking at that data to be able to kind of inform decisions for the future. And so, I mean, I think it's important. I think the number that I saw was like 61 new teachers. That's a lot. But saying 61 new teachers without all the context, how many of those positions didn't get filled last year? So 61 teachers, when there's 450 of them, that's a large turnover. But we don't have the answers of how many were unfilled last year, how many are retirements. So there's more to the digging down. But just the fact that the information is available is a conversation starter.
And I think too, it's a kind of listening or reading about the changing of superintendents and all that. It's not just a Pittsfield issue. I think it's an
Correct.
issue throughout the state, probably throughout the country. But I just think that I it's so easy again to criticize people. But everybody, I really believe in the city, especially, and maybe people think I'm Pollyanna, but I know most of the people who work in the city or work for the city, and they're doing the best they can. Like you. I mean, anybody, why, of course, I tried to counsel you out of running for that position, but you wouldn't listen. It's a demanding job in so many ways. All these jobs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and foremost is that you're a public figure, and almost everybody knows who you are. One of the things that took me some time to get adjusted to is that there's a proper way to get in touch, and clearly, I don't even want to be anything clear, close to saying, don't bother me when I'm out in public, because I think that there is an opportunity to have conversations, and that's important. But on a Saturday morning, do you contact me via my personal cell phone or Facebook?
7:30.
That I kind of say, okay, where are the parameters, and how do we kind of work these things through? It is a 24/7 job, as well as like the police chief and the fire chief. And that doesn't mean that you're working the 24/7, but you need to be prepared for whatever phone call you're going to get for whatever issue. But what I have seen, say, in the last 4 months is a change in the dynamics. And you may know me, it doesn't mean I know you. And more people are approaching out in public to offer positive comments and to say, hey, I like this, or hey, I like that, or stick to your guns on this. Which, when someone comes up and says, hey, you're doing a good job, for example, if you say to me, you're doing a good job, okay, you're my friend. Yes, you're going to tell me the truth, but can you sugarcoat it a little bit just because you don't want the confrontation, right? But when you're having strangers come up to you out in the public and want to offer some form of
Comment.
comment, then I think that they don't have to, right? I don't know who they are. They could just keep on walking. I'm noticing a different change. Sure, not everybody's happy, and I get it. Like, I'm not always happy either. But I think we've been trying to explain why we're doing what we're doing when we do it.
Yeah, I think you're very transparent, and I mean that. I think back on the toters, you had all those meetings, you listened to all the complaints and all the kudos, but I think it's only fair to let the people know through the years, the mayor and I have disagreed, and we've disagreed. Here's the thing that I really want to bring out, but we never let it affect our friendship. We disagreed, but we weren't disagreeable. And there's a big difference in today's world. Really a big difference, as you well know.
I think there's still a lot of us in that frame of mind. It's like I think I've said to you, and I think others have kind of picked it up, when I'm running for public office, If you agree with me 51% or more of the time, then you should be looking at me and trying to decide if I'm the candidate you want to vote for. If we agree 25% of the time, then maybe I'm not that person. But there's not many of us that are going to agree 100% of the time, right? And so what are the issues that you're working on? What are the issues that are your concern? We say all the time in the political world, what is the issue that you're willing to die on that hill for? Is it that important? Do you really want to blow yourself up because you really believe that that's the right thing to do? Or do you change and say, hey, this is who I am. I can compromise here. I can do this. And I think that that's what government's about. It's not black and white. Most of the time, we're going to end up in the
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think
middle.
at the level that you're operating and the diversity of the topics, from roads to garbage to homeless to up, I just it, it I really hope people start to appreciate and be kinder. I watched all the meetings because I don't have a life. Except last night I was at the PCTV and WTBR board meetings. Yes, and we had a wonderful time. I want to thank the Polish Falcons. And I want to thank Sean Sayre, Dave Cachet, and the whole team, and Jody especially, for all that they did to make it a wonderful evening. Thank you. And just a note, make a note, the mayor was not in attendance there either. So
No.
that'll be talked about forever. We have a big election coming up, a lot of people.
We do.
I hope, I just hope that when they're all reelected or elected or whatever the term, and they take office, that they're respectful to our city employees when they come before them. Really, I watch some of the meetings and say, what are you gaining by that line of questioning? But it is what it is. What do you think the challenges are going to be with the budget cuts and at the federal level and the state level?
Well, I think we need to figure out like what they're going to be. I think that's our biggest challenge because, as of now, we have heard and seen a lot. If I go back to earlier this year, we were going to lose money for the AmeriCorps program, which funded RSVP. There were hoops to jump through. You could accept the money, but you had to agree to certain terms. We made it through that. That cut really didn't come to fruition. There was like $10 million worth of education cuts that were being reviewed. That was just the city of Pittsfield's money, 10 million for the city of Pittsfield. I think that would have been devastating. And so it's tough to like plan. I think that as we move forward into fiscal year 27, we need to keep the eye on the efficiencies that we can continue to create. I was at RSVP within the last couple of weeks doing coffee with the mayor, for lack of a better term. And one of the questions was about taxes, and one of the questions was about the budget. And we kind of, I said, I could really play coy with you and say, I don't understand what you're talking about the tax bill, because like taxes went down 50 cents per thousand with this year's budget. Or with last year's tax increase. And so I don't understand. Well, I do understand because the economy and the housing market are having a field
Big
day
issue.
with all of us. And, I probably mentioned it here before and mentioned it again. I purchased my house in November of 15. It's worth almost double the price in 2025. And tax bills are calculated by the value of your home, and the tax rate. And so, with our property values taking place the way that they are, but when you have a market that says, "Hey, I'll put my house on the market for 400," and someone walks in and says, "I'll pay you 450," who's saying, "No, I don't want that extra 50,000?" And when all those sales and all that stuff is happening, well, it's now impacting our property values around us. And so we have to find a way of figuring out. And when I was at RSVP, we talked about the Department of Public Works budget, which was the only budget in the city of Pittsfield that came in for less money than it had come in the year before. Which, when you talk about employee pay raises and you talk about increase in contracts and you know the cost of materials and inflation, to be able to have a budget that comes in a couple hundred thousand dollars less than the year before without cutting anything, it was a pretty good thing. But we owed all of that to the savings in the new trash collection. So we need to find more of those ways.
And I think what you brought with you, and some of the people on the council, they've been on there a while. They've been seasoned. You brought that on. We can't always fall on this. We've always done it that way because we can't afford to continue to do it that way. And that's why I do applaud the city council, you, your department heads. I always know they love to beat up the poor guy who's got to tell you how much sand or salt they're going to use. You know, unless you got a direct line to heaven, no, you're not going to get an. I want a confirmed estimate. Well, you know, that ain't going to happen. You know, I mean, we can go by a lot of things, and I think the DPW does, and I think Matt Kerwood does. But then all of a sudden, this storm comes out of nowhere. So.
And I mean, I can't predict the future, right? I'm not even going to try. I think I can prepare for the future,
Fair.
right? And so some of the things that we do and the challenges that we're facing, we looked at just in the homeless situation, we looked at the numbers in January and we expected an explosion for this summer. I think we were planning and preparing for, and I think it's time to really focus on the glasses half full rather than the glasses half empty.
Me
So
too.
when we talk about housing, 112 units available within the next 3 to 5 months. They're all in construction. That's a nice chunk of housing. There's another 140 something that will come online by the end of 2027. So, we have our ducks in a row for housing. We have a plan and we're moving forward on getting that stuff in place. We know that we have an issue with homelessness. I think the first opening in a few months, again, is another piece of the puzzle. We're out working an economic development plan, before the city council currently. Our two proposals, one for a locally homegrown business that's going to expand and double in size, and one from a company that is located in Chicopee, but they need to create a second product line, and there wasn't room in moving to Pittsfield and purchasing the old Conti Archives building that's been vacant for a good period of time. So we've got those, and there are some other job possibilities, company creations, relocations that are in the near future. So it's planning and preparing for whatever those things are. And one of the things that we're working to put together is a look back on all the GE Economic Development Fund projects
Okay.
and how many jobs those created and how much additional tax revenue was provided because of that investment. And the
Oh,
same
yeah.
thing with the TIES and the TIFs. Can we figure out, hey, we gave you a break of $262,000, but
Yeah.
geez, over the period of time, we got $4 million in revenue, and it's still growing and still working. And so, I was at the scene, RSVP, as I said, and somebody kind of asked the question that you always say, can't you put something out with your tax bill that shows everybody exactly
Yeah.
what dollars are going for what? And I think that would be an interesting piece. Here's our city budget. It's $229 million, and here's how much goes to police and fire and public works. And
Yeah.
when you see the percentages and where they're going and what they're doing, that's
It's eye-opening. I've worked with a within an organization that it's eye-opening. It really said, whoa, I didn't know I cost them that much. Yeah. Especially insurance and things like that. So, yeah, that's if it's not an easy task, but I think once you get the template, then you just
Right.
plug things in. I wanted to just because I've heard of a few, there you're going to be experiencing a retirement, I would imagine, in both the fire and police.
Definitely police. The police chief will be leaving the beginning of January. And so we're now in the process of doing an open competitive bid for the next chief. That will most likely open up some additional vacancies in the police department. With police, we are working now by offering incentives for lateral moves for officers that are working in other communities to come to Pittsfield. It was a piece that loosened up a little bit on the civil service process. And so right now we're down maybe five or six. But we could be down as far as a dozen
Right.
by the end of the fiscal year in June of next year. So we need
Right.
to do something to be able to build up our police department. Our city solicitor will be leaving the beginning of October.
Oh.
He has obtained a job closer to home and higher than city solicitor in the city of Pittsfield. So we're in the process of looking to replace him with an internal city solicitor, just like we had with him. Jim Clark, our veteran service agent,
Yeah.
is also retiring at the end of the year, and we're in the process of advertising that position and trying to hire for that position as well.
And you know, I know you guys have looked at it. I don't know how far you've proceeded with it, but after the break, civil service is. I don't know the benefit of it anymore. What you have, like police officers union, fire officers union, things like that, and staying in civil service is a very costly, and I know other cities in Berkshire counties have left. We're going to take a break. I'm here with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. It's a daunting job. While he likes to say he takes the afternoon off on the weekends, I happen to know that's an afternoon off could be an hour. So he's a hardworking guy, and it's 24/7. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, and we're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And we are broadcasting now down in Southern Berkshire at 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, he is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. No, it's not gray hair. It's blonde. His hair is turning blonde.
Oh, okay.
And my hair disappeared. I asked in the first half about the, but it's still kind of tentative, right? What's going to be cut and what isn't going to be cut and what's coming from the feds and what's coming from the states. I mean, it's got to be, I heard on news, one of the congressmen or somebody in the state house said it was like trying to do a budget on when standing on quicksand, because you never knew when it was going to. But I'm glad to hear the RSVP, because that's a wonderful organ. And whether some folks out there who have never heard of it or don't understand it, 30 seconds. Many of the not-for-profits, the Burlington Stage, Colonial, Jacob's Pillow, all these places, without RSVP volunteers, they'd be hurt. They'd be hurting. That's all I'm going to say. RSVP and Lisa Torrey, I hold them in very high esteem. And thank you, Peter, for getting in there and swinging the bat and trying to save it. Because, boy, I'll tell you, it's one thing to do surgical cuts. It's another thing to go in with a machete. So.
Right. Well, and if you look at the amount of work that RSVP contributes across the city, if we were all paying for that, it would be 1,000 times what we're paying to have RSVP exist.
And a lot of the not-for-profits wouldn't exist if they didn't have those volunteers, because they couldn't afford to pay even minimum wage. You got a great person running it too, in Lisa. Now, what are your plans in 2 years?
Breaking news. As of now, we are running for re-election in 2027. I think that we have, over the last 6 months, really begun to get into the stride of what we wanted to do, right? A lot of 2024 was trash delivery reconstruction. Now we're working ready to complete a first round of housing. Cool. Projects to be done. Yep. We have the next round of projects to be done. You know, like I said earlier, 255 units by the end of 2027, which I think is a pretty decent amount of housing. That doesn't include whatever Milltown will design for Woodlawn Ave, because they're still working on their plans and trying to get stuff to pencil out. And I think, you know, one of the things that folks don't recognize with the housing project is, at a minimum, it's a 3-year project, if not a 5-year project.
Yeah.
And the time, the energy, the commitment, the money And right now, if you're building a housing structure, you're investing about $450,000 per unit. So, if you're saying it's a 10-unit facility, it's $4.5 million.
That's right.
And then, in order to do that, what's your return? So, what does the rental structure need to look at? What kind of private funding could you've got? So, there's a whole piece of that, and we have two pieces of our economic development plan in council purview now, and we have several more coming starting the beginning of October for job creation, company expansion, company relocations, and so that's the job that we got elected to do, and at this stage of the game, even with your counseling saying, go on, go be a private citizen. I think that we have much more work to do, and I'll be asking the voters for that opportunity in 2027.
Well, I'll tell you, the groundwork you've laid, in my opinion, through difficult, certainly uncharted waters, let's say this, all these budget innuendos and tariffs and everything else. But I do want to compliment the city too on the one across from the hot dog ranch and the white, what I refer to as the old white terrace. I don't know what they're going to call it now. But
Terrace 592.
Terrace 592. I'll always refer to it as White Terrace. I'm too old.
Me too.
I'm too old to be changing. Just suck it up. They're whoever did both of those, they're beautiful. I mean, from the outside, I passed by it today going to up to the hospital. White Terrace is just, you can tell everything was done with class, the windows, the doors, everything. So I hope the people moving in there take good care of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I toured the inside late spring, just before they were ready to open. So that was done by Reagan Development, and
Wow.
they loved working with the city of Pittsfield and are looking for another project. So we will
Good.
help them along.
Now, on the one where the old gym's shoes were,
Yeah, the right building and the gym South Shoes.
yeah. Now that's coming along nicely too. I mean, they're working. Every day I go down there, I'm more astonished at all they got done, at least on the outside. And the one across from the hot dog ranch, I believe I've seen them working there on Saturdays.
Probably. I know we're trying to meet the deadlines. The West Housatonic and the Housing by Zion Lutheran Church are ARPA funded, so we're
Yeah.
to meet the time deadlines there.
And that again, the one by the Lutheran Church, magnificent, a lot of work.
Yep.
And that, I guess I'll say this because, I've watched the homeless meetings, and I have all kinds of sympathy and empathy for them. But I would also say, what more do you want the city to do? You can only do things at a certain speed. Not the city's fault. It's you can't get stuff today is another thing. To make it about me, I sent my breathing machine to be fixed in July, and they're telling me I can't get it back until mid October because of waiting for parts.
Yeah, and I also, I think there are two ways of going about things, and hindsight's 2020, but winter's approaching, and
Yeah.
it's not the time for folks to be heading outdoors and to be
No.
thinking of encampments, and so what are we doing as the city? Working with the agencies who, quite honestly, lead a lot of this, right? If you're looking for housing, you're dealing with an agency that gets you on the list, that gets you into some system. The mental health issues that surround a homeless individual, or the substance use issues, again, we need to rely on the agencies to be there to help them. And at what point in time do we, like, say there's not much more we can do?
All right.
And I think there's always more work to do, more communications to be had, more transparency to be had, more
Yeah.
advocating. But we need to make sure that we're getting things in the proper light.
And I think you just mentioned two very significant issues. We know there's a huge shortage of mental health professionals here to help people. We also know that there's a real challenge for the homeless people. They're homeless because of addiction. And so it through my career, don't simplify. These are very complicated things. And they're not going to be fixed overnight. You can yell and scream at the mayor, you can yell and scream at me, but I'm an old man. I've seen it, and I've experienced it. When you have people who have these issues, putting them in a home is one piece of putting their life together. And
And putting them in the home may not be the first step that you need to take.
that's right.
So,
Yeah, I applaud what you're doing. I've watched those meetings. I you can't simplify. This is a very complex, complicated, multifaceted, whatever words you want to use. It isn't just plunking somebody in an apartment. I'm sorry.
well, right.
I get a little emotional about this.
I have been meeting at different organizations, and
Yep.
again, hindsight's 2020. It might have been better to walk the streets and have conversations with the folks that need the help to better understand what the issues are, because a lot of the people who are advocating for them are advocating based on what they think. And then when you have a conversation with some of the individuals that are directly involved, they have a different
Yeah.
set of information. And I've met a couple times at Berkshire Harm Reduction with their peer recovery group, and they're free-flowing questions, don't hold back. Let's have an honest
Yeah.
dialogue. And one of the individuals is like, "Well, why are you here? Because we hear that you don't care about us." Okay, well, where did you hear that from? And I went back for the second time, and it was like, "Well, it wasn't a one and done. You're back, you're still engaging in conversations, you're still asking us questions." I'm like, "Well, because everybody's story is different, right? My story is different than your story.
Yeah.
And we want to assume that we have an issue on our hands and that everybody's story is the same, and everybody's story is not the same. And everybody's solution might need to be different." And some of it, I think, starts with if I am unhoused, what is the process to getting me housed? And
Right.
in some cases, I think there's a lot of follow-up that needs to be if you're on a waiting list to get an
Yeah.
apartment, that do you forget that you're on that list, or that you need to be jumping through hoops and you stop doing it? And then what does that mean? Trying to kind of figure all that out and make sense.
Yeah, and again, there may have to be steps taken
Correct.
before you can get on that list, or while you're on that list. I don't know the protocols for it, but it isn't, as I said. I think the city is doing a wonderful job considering everything. I mean, you can't get stuff. These builders, I applaud them for making deadlines, because you just can't always get stuff today, as we're finding out.
Right. But I mean, there's if this path doesn't work, what's the next path? I think that those are pieces that we need to kind of.
Exactly. But you, I applaud what you did turning it over to the health department, because it really is. It isn't so much a criminal justice issue. It is a it's a public health issue, and public safety, yes, but most of the time there are these. I used to spend a lot of time working with people who had issues, and my thinking is this. Until we help them with their issues, giving them an apartment is just, they may not even want it. I've seen that too.
Right.
I've seen veterans who just as soon live outside.
Right. Well, and I think that's the kind of piece that we need to have to kind of follow through and figure out.
Yeah. So, besides all of those things and the school and all those issues, excuse me, what do you think the most challenging thing for the next 2 years will be?
Probably learning to zig when we need to zag. I think part of it is, and I said this early on this year, we as a community need to focus on Pittsfield. There's a lot of stuff happening around us.
Yeah.
The only thing I can control is what's happening within Pittsfield, right? Pittsfield's budget. Although there are a lot of unknowns. I can only control Pittsfield and what and how Pittsfield moves forward. Trying to create the mindset that A, it's and this will sound kind of like, whoa, but living in the moment, right?
Yeah.
We can't look back at what happened yesterday. And we really can't look too far in the future if we don't have a solidified plan.
As we really get to the towards the end of this program, what are your goals for the city? What at the end, when you walk out the door, what do you want people to say?
Well, I think first and foremost that I left Pittsfield a better place than
Yeah.
where I, when I started. But I think some of the goals are simple, right? Well, they're not simple, they're complicated, but they're simple to list. Increase the quality housing that we have within the community to create more of a diverse economic platform for Pittsfield to kind of live after. And we know that we have a ton of opportunity with the William Stanley Business Park and the stuff that's happening there. We still have some wonderful opportunities to piggyback
That's
on the BIC.
great.
And so, when we start talking jobs and here's 25 jobs with this company or 50 jobs with this company, I think that's what we need to do for the future of Pittsfield and not go out and look for Fortune 500 company that's going to employ everybody
Yeah.
because the devastation when they leave.
Yeah.
We just recently had a city council subcommittee meeting were tasked with provide us with the vacancies in the downtown and how long stuff
Yeah,
vacant.
I saw that, yeah.
Well, when we look at the big picture, there There are 20 vacancies out of 115 spots. So, not terrific, but not horrible.
Well,
But let's look
not
at
as
it the
bad
other.
as it's been in the past.
Let's look in the other direction. And 24, 25 new businesses have opened since January of 2024,
Yes.
right? So it's those kind of things. And I think we all, including me, get caught up in talking about the glass half empty instead of half full.
Yeah.
And so begin to have more of those kind of conversations. We have a ton of stuff in the makings, with the possibility, not even the possibility, of getting Site 9 redeveloped. We have our first tenant with Milltown, ready to roll. We've got some good stuff hopefully going to happen at the BIC. Like I said, we had Jane Americas Inc. Purchasing the Conti Drive or the Conti Archives building. All that's happening in downtown. We're working on Wacona Park. We're working on a brand new Crosby campus. We
Yeah.
need to be kind of focusing on the future. And, from the school's perspective, starting down a road of saying, hey, we have eight elementary schools. Is it possible to get down to three elementary schools with the model of pre-K through one in one side of the school, two to four in another? We're well all the way in the middle school reconstruction or reconfiguration study. I mean, what we're used to having eight elementary schools is that needed in today's day and age?
Right.
If we go from eight to six or to five or four, it doesn't necessarily mean tons and tons and tons of savings.
No.
Because if you have X number of students, you need X number of teachers. If you have X number of students, you need X number of paraprofessionals. But if we can reduce the number of buildings that we're heating, and the number of buildings that we're providing utilities to, I think we'll see some large savings along the way. But I still, as probably the four mayors before me have, we need a new police station, and what does that look like? And where is that going to be? So there's a lot of work ahead to do, that hopefully by the end of my 8 years, if the voters will grant that, and the election in
Sure.
2027, that we've been able to put a dent in quite a few of those things.
Yeah, and I liked the way you presented that. You presented that in a logical, very progressive but logical way. These people don't want everything to happen overnight. It's not that easy. And having the plan. I often said this because for years, it's one thing to write the plan, it's another thing to execute it. And I really applaud you for what you're doing. Like, I gotta say, I don't know the staffing power of the fire department. I have the greatest respect for him. My father was a fireman for ever. But what the chief and the command staff has done with a police department that's down, still covering the city. Yes, it's costly, but what would you rather have? Would you rather be able to have a cop when you pick up the phone, or have them? I lived in Tucson. We had somebody breaking into the apartment next to us. They said it'll be at least 20 minutes before we can get anybody there. So,
Right.
I think all of us need to start looking at the brighter side. And you're right. We need to look at the bright side of Pittsfield. There's enough naysayers and letters to the editor and stuff. But actually, Pittsfield has made a recovery, I think, from the loss of General Electric and all those jobs and all that income, when you think Pittsfield has rebounded pretty darn well.
Well, and I think part of our problem is that if you're born and raised here,
Yeah.
I am old enough to remember the days of going downtown.
Yeah, Thursday night.
And well, I mean, for me, it was a Saturday afternoon where we got the ability to go shop at JJ Newbery's and
Yeah.
Inman Brothers and have a hot dog and an ice cream sundae at the food counter at JJ Newbery's,
Yeah.
and then walk up to St. Joe's Church and go to church, and then have dinner at Friendly's, that is no longer there. That was
Boy, those are a long time.
in between Fenn Street. I can't even remember where it was, but in between St. Joe and Fenn Street, on the same side as St. Joe.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's important that that's my hometown, right? It's what I remember, and
Yeah.
it's changed. But if you have someone who's coming from outside of Pittsfield that has never been here before, a
Yeah.
lot of the things that we're uptight about, they're like, it's every place else. I don't want to be the mayor to use that as an excuse that it's every place else, because I want my community to be better than every place else.
I will say this for this guy, and I've known him a long time. I've never heard him use an excuse. If he's owned it, he's owned it. And there it is, from the parade on down. Mayor, thank you so much for coming on today, and continued success, because we are having a lot of successes, one right after the other. And I don't think they get enough coverage either. So, future programs are just going to talk about all the real positive things that have happened, unless the federal government of the state swings the bat and cuts our budget to the core, and
Well,
then we'll just.
how many more days before a government shutdown is looming?
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I want to thank the audience. I want to thank the mayor. Takes the time, and today I do want to ask you to try to lift somebody up. Somebody needs to, there's enough people trying to push you down. Lift somebody up. Make a call. Say hello. Let them go ahead of you. They got a bottle of water or a quart of milk, and you got a whole grocery cart. Let that person go ahead. You'll be better off for it, and so will they. And again, God bless. And to the mayor, thank you for all of your efforts, your transparency, and I guess your total honesty. I don't guess, I know. Everybody, thank you so much for listening and watching. Remember, we're all in this together. Let's help each other, not step on each other. Thanks, Mr. Mayor, and thanks,
Thank
Peter.
you.
And thanks,
Thank you.
Catherine and Brittany, for getting us back up. See you
Yeah,
later.
that was bizarre.